Hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us on Abounding Grace today. You know, in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul does something here that's really beautiful for us to understand and should be a great comfort to us. Right in the middle of Romans 7, beginning at verse 14, he had been talking, of course, before that about his conversion experience, about what happened when he was awakened to his life, his failures before God. But then in verse 14, everything shifts into the present. And this is what he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If, then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." You see, Paul here shifts everything to the present. He's no longer talking about his past. He's talking about now what his Christian experience is. Whatever he's now going to say, he's going to say, "This is what is happening to me. And this is now my relationship to the law now that I become a Christian." Oh, sure, no Christian is under the law for condemnation. He's freed from that old master. And that was Paul's point in the beginning of Romans 7. We've been married to another, to Jesus. But it still serves, because the law is a reflection of God's holiness, a very important place in the life of the Christian. Because now you love the law. The law has become much, he says, my chief delight. But I've got a problem. I live every day at the feet of Christ. Because as I go on with the Christian life, I'm finding myself in a warfare to which this body of sin that remains in me wars against this new desire to honor the law of God. Not to earn anything, I'm not under that law, but I still now have this desire because I love God. And the law is a reflection of who He is. And that's why the psalmists were constantly crying out, "Your law is my chief delight." And so here we're presented with the Christian life simply because of what he said earlier about his relationship to the law before he became a Christian. "I thought I kept it. I thought I was good. I thought in my own estimation I was alive." But now to the end of the chapter, in verse 14 following, in the present, what is he saying? "All of the sudden in my life, since I was converted, now I have this great desire to honor God's law, but I am realizing every step of the way, I can't keep it." You see, this is the real issue. Since Paul has died to himself and realizes just how bad he really is before the Lord, what does it mean for the rest of his life? Well, now Paul shows us what the Christian life is, what it's really like now that he has died to himself, meaning now that he's lost all confidence in trying to earn salvation before God. And this is the true sign of your sanctification. Having been justified, now this life of sanctification flows forth, and you need to ask yourself, is this what Paul's describing here? Is this true of me? Three times, he's now going to define the Christian life, explain what the problem is, and why he is facing it. Listen to verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Here's my problem, says Paul, in my life that I'm continuing to face. The law is spiritual. The law is not the problem. God's commandments are good and they are holy and they are just. But I, on the other hand, am of the flesh, sold under sin. What does that mean? Well, he further defines this in verse 18. "For I know that in my flesh nothing good dwells." Further, verse 21, "There is a law that evil is present with me, Now, this is his grand problem. This is a problem now as a redeemed Christian every day that you face as you step out of your bed and be on with your day. Because your eyes have been opened to the truth, you are really now seeing the truth about yourself. The God of heaven and earth is radiant, and he's beautiful, and he's holy, and he's just, and he cannot tolerate any sin in his presence. And since he has sent down to us his perfect law, which is an expression of his holy character, the law is set before me now, and I'm in this struggle. I have come to see very clearly that there is another sort of law within me. Evil is always present. The law comes from our just and our holy and good God. But I, on the other hand, am of the flesh. Not in the flesh as a Christian, but of the flesh. I still belong to this present evil age and in a fallen world. And I am still in this great tension of wanting to obtain to that which is spiritual. But the reality is, I still carry around this body of death, this sinful nature, and I feel its power and I feel its death in my life. As I come into contact with this God whom I now love and I see just how holy he is, all I'm realizing about my life is that even my best acts are full of sin. So these two laws, he says, are in a sense in direct opposition. God's law, which is holy and good, it's a beautiful reflection of his holiness, but me, on the other hand, in my flesh, there is nothing good that dwells at all. And that, he says, has set me in disarray. See, Paul says, I want you to understand what the conflict really is of the Christian life. What the conflict is of every single believer. If you are a believer today, this is what you're enlisted to. He says it three times so that we would get the point. He says in verse 15, "For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." He expands that in verse 18. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, that I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." If you don't understand that yet, he further adds to it in verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." You hear his struggle, Christians. He says, I have this inward delight. Before I was a Christian, I never delighted in God's law. I saw it as a way for my own self-righteousness to climb right up to God. But the reality was, the law was revealing sin. It was arousing sin. It was killing me. And finally, I recognized that as I trusted in Jesus, my life was changed. I died with him. And because I was his child, there was worked in me a sweet delight now to obey the law, not to earn anything, because we can't earn anything. But simply because I love the one who gave the law. I love the Lord. He is my God. He's my treasure. And if these are his commandments, then I have now learned to love them because they reflect his character. And so deep within my heart is this deep desire to live a blameless life. Deep within the recesses of my soul in the inward man, there's a yearning to please the Lord and to love and obey his law. But here's what I'm constantly facing in my life. A warfare between this desire to obey the law and an inability to keep it. I'm constantly finding myself doing the very things that I now hate. And even when I think that I have found some quick fix to my sin, as we as Americans try to do, the minute I set myself to do it, I fail. And so I'm constantly facing inward turmoil within my own members. It's as if I feel at times like I'm two persons. It's as if my heart is often being pulled two ways. At the moment when I think I've done well, I stumble. And you say, I'm in shock at what my wicked heart can do so soon after I've felt so strengthened and cleansed myself through the blood of Christ and gone to Christ and felt his strength and received his uplifting. This is what has happened. You want a concrete example of this as we conclude today? Look at the life of Peter. "Lord, I will follow you wherever I go." Jesus said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Even, says Peter, if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Hear that desire? It was deep. It was committed. He loved Jesus. Yet in just a few hours, he would be standing with Jesus' enemies. Having denied him three times when he wept, what went through his mind? Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, Jesus, I am so unworthy of you. I did the very things I so boldly said I would never do. And Jesus comes to restore him. Do you love me, Peter? Do you agape me, Peter? That's the deepest love. And Peter says, you know that I phileo you. I love you, Lord. It's a different word for love. He refused to use the same word that Jesus used because his actions had done something so different than his desire. Jesus asks him again, do you agape me, Peter? He answers, you know that I phileo you. I have a deep affection for you. I wish I could say, oh, Jesus, that I agape you. It's my desire, but I do love you. And a third time, Jesus uses then Peter's word. Do you phileo me? Do you really have this love for me? Peter says, Lord, you know all things. In other words, you know my heart. Sure, my actions were great and I were great against you and I'm ashamed of what I did. But you know that I love you. That, my friends, is the struggle of the Christian. I love you, but I'm finding the desire of my heart being to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but my actions often doing something different. John Newton said something so beautiful, and I leave this with you today. I was ashamed of myself when I came to Christ. I was more ashamed after. Do you get that? I was ashamed of myself when I came to Christ. I was more ashamed after. Is that your struggle? If it is, be comforted today. He has not left you in darkness. Christ Jesus, our Lord, has rescued. And when you cry out to him, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Daily, Christ lifts you up, assures you of his love, cleanses you, and declares to those who have come to me, there is therefore now no condemnation.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.